This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. The Prime Minister is in Washington, D.C. with a high-ranking delegation, which includes the Foreign Minister, Minister of International Trade and Industry, as well as the Chief Secretary to the Government and the National Security Council Director General. We've already had remarks ahead of the bilateral meeting between the delegation and their U.S. counterparts. The Prime Minister, Najib Razak, and I said, and I quote, "We have come here with a strong value proposition to put on the table. Number one, we want to help you in terms of strengthening the U.S. economy," end quote. The Prime Minister is now being hosted by the U.S.-ASEAN Business Council and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he will also be attending a luncheon discussion at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. On the line, we have Alina Noor, Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies. She's there alongside the Malaysian delegation. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Alina. I want to begin with what the Prime Minister and President and their prior relationship. We know that they've met before. According to the Prime Minister, it was several years ago after a United Nations General Assembly meeting when several Malaysian leaders went golfing at the upscale Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, about an hour out of New York. Trump partnered with the Prime Minister Najib and they won. He left the Prime Minister with a autographed photo with the President of the United States, now President of the United States, saying, "To my favourite Prime Minister, great win." How important was this brief meeting and the goodwill to securing this visit to the White House, which is the first in over a decade?
Hi, Sharad. It's important if you look at the substantive relationship. I know there's been a lot of talk about some of the less savory parts of this visit, but it was important to reaffirm the strength of the bilateral relationship, especially with the new administration. And it was important for the Prime Minister to do this at the summit level. So I think if you look at the substantive aspects of the relationship, the investment side of things, defense, security, cooperation, all those needed to be reaffirmed with the Trump administration, particularly given how distracting how distracted the Trump administration has seemed to be, especially with regards to Southeast Asia.
Now, coming to, before we get into the most substantive issues that you pointed out just now, I understand that the Prime Minister met with the Malaysian community in Washington, D.C. as part of his visit. You were there. What were the conversations centered on, especially in light of those negative headlines, as you said, that have accompanied the Prime Minister into this meeting?
So one of the key messages that the Prime Minister tried to deliver last night was that Malaysia is doing well, particularly in attracting investment at a time when the global economy is slowing down. It was a rhetorical question, but you know, he asked us, does this look like a failed state to you, with Malaysia doing this well in terms of FDI, in terms of growing our economy, 5.8% growth expected. The other key message that he sought to underline was also the fact that the United States is an important partner to Malaysia, as important as Malaysia is to the United States in different aspects of the relationship, the security cooperation being one of them. But also, as you pointed out, Sharad, you know, he talked about bringing this value proposition to President Trump, seen as a very transactional president, wanting to offer some values to the relationship, bringing capital to the United States, trying to grow jobs by buying some Boeing airlines that Malaysia Airlines is currently trying to secure the deal on. So all of these propositions that Prime Minister Najib is trying to bring, I think, really is trying to strengthen and further the comprehensive partnership that we had with the United States in 2014 under a different administration.
So would you credit the Malaysian delegation for being sensitive to the tone coming out of the White House, recognizing this, as you put it, transactional character? Who's advising the Prime Minister on approaching the White House in this way?
I am not sure who is advising the Prime Minister, but he probably does have a team advising him of some of the limitations with the current administration in the United States, but also some of the opportunities that that brings. And so I think recognizing those limitations means trying to fashion those value propositions in terms of trying to help the U.S. grow its economy, create jobs, and that's exactly what you saw in terms of the messaging before Najib and Trump sat down to their bilateral talk.
Yeah, the bilateral. Speaking of the bilateral talks, you said it because it foregrounded the question of trade, the Malaysian investments in the U.S. and numbers were actually used. I think Khazanah and $400 million was mentioned in the mix, but also security issues, where the Prime Minister forwarded this idea of winning hearts and minds in the ideological battle against extremism. Now, what was not mentioned was the fact that Malaysia is on the Trump administration's trade cheat list, and also not mentioned was the possibility of kick-starting bilateral free trade, a bilateral free trade agreement. What do you know from what happened behind closed doors? That was those were those items on the table?
I think in the public domain, the Prime Minister has made clear that Malaysia is open to having bilateral trade talks with the United States. Now, whether or not that will actually go far is remains to be seen. We've already had several rounds of bilateral trade talks with the United States before. Those were quite painful, but I think we've learned from that process and we've liberalized some in terms of our domestic agenda. So perhaps if we did go down the road of bilateral talks, it would be less painful this time. It's a shame that the United States pulled out of the TPP, but given the fact that Najib has said that Malaysia is open to having those bilateral talks for trade, actually says something. I understand that our trade imbalance is not as great as some of the other countries on the trade cheater list that President Trump mentioned. So perhaps there is room to work something out. But I think if there is a chance, you know, there is still a preference for more of a multilateral setting for furthering the trade agenda.
What was the Prime Minister's message at the dinner hosted by the U.S. ASEAN Business Council and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
The speech is going on right now as we speak. I'm not actually at the dinner, but I assume that he will be putting this message of Malaysia being an attractive investment destination and Malaysia seeking to increase investment in the United States as well. Khazanah is here and they're looking to invest more in technology in Silicon Valley, but also on the East Coast of the United States and in Boston, for example, where they have an office. And the idea of buying these planes from Boeing. So I think what the message will be is that there is scope for increasing investment opportunities on both sides, even if trade is going to be a sticky issue for both countries.
Okay, lastly, Alina, thank you so much for... I'm going to tax you a little bit here, but the upcoming luncheon, what do you know with the Centre for Strategic and International Studies, who will be there and what do you believe is the message that's going to be communicated to that particular audience?
So thanks for the opportunity to plug this. This will actually be an event hosted by CSIS in Washington, but also co-organized by my organization, ISIS Malaysia. I hope that what will come out of the PM's address will be more of a focus on other things apart from trade and investment, talking about the bilateral relationship from other aspects, from the security and defense cooperation standpoint, but also from a political point of view. There will no doubt be some hard questions asked, but it will be to an audience of mostly think tankers, policy makers, policy shakers, people within the think tank community in Washington, D.C. So hopefully it will be a more rounded address based on regional security developments in the Asia Pacific.
Can I tap you for one last question, Alina? The question of soft power, it seems Donald Trump is pulling back from that in his relationship with the world. Is that something that worries Malaysians as America withdraws and China fills the vacuum?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some concern that America might be distracted by its own domestic developments, but also by ongoings in other parts of the world, including, of course, the Middle East. China is going to take advantage of that. Why wouldn't it? But I think one of the other aspects of soft power that you mentioned is also going to be potentially problematic in our security cooperation, because if America is seen to be antagonistic towards Muslims and Muslim-majority countries, then there might be some complications in our security cooperation, at least from the nominal or rhetorical level, because there's going to be this juncture of the image of a Muslim unfriendly America trying to quote unquote solve problems in Muslim majority countries with regards to terrorism.
Eleanor, Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies. Good luck with that. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.